All right, y'all, welcome to the Scott Horton Show. I'm the director of the Libertarian Institute, editorial director of antiwar.com, author of the book Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan, and the brand new Enough Already, Time to End the War on Terrorism. And I've recorded more than 5,500 interviews since 2003, almost all on foreign policy, and all available for you at scotthorton.org. You can sign up for the podcast feed there, and the full interview archive is also available at youtube.com/Scott Horton Show. All right, you guys, introducing Muhtadhar al-Zaidi, famously threw a shoe at George W. Bush in December 2008, and we were recently connected by a mutual friend and follower on Twitter. And very happy to welcome him to the show, and also his friend Susan, who's going to be helping with the translations here. How are you guys doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks very much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. So can we start with, can you tell us, what exactly did you say to George W. Bush when you threw those shoes?
Okay, I will speak in Arabic, and Mrs. Susan will translate about what I told to President George Bush when I throw my shoe over him. I told him this is kiss of goodbye from Iraqi people. And I told him, you killed my people. You killed my family. Iraqi is my family. You kill my family. You kill Iraqi people. That's the word after when I throw, and before when they talk me outside.
Now, it was reported at the time that you were arrested and taken off and presumably tortured under the new government that America had created there. Is that true?
It was the Iraqi government force or people who did that, not the American.
The same. Iraqi forces or American forces. The same.
They're the same.
They took order from President Bush and the U.S. Army. So, اللي عذبوني هم الحماية الشخصية وليس العراقيين. الحماية الشخصية الرئيس الوزراء اللي عينهم الجانب الأمريكي.
Yeah, so he was arrested by the security guys of Nour al-Maliki, who was the prime minister at that time, who was appointed by the Americans. And so it was a kind of cooperation between the two that made sure that he was arrested and tortured back then.
Sir, if it's not too difficult, can you describe the torture that they put you through?
أول تعذيب كان اللي في قاعة اللي كان فيها رئيس الوزراء مع رئيس الجمهورية الأمريكية مع رئيس الوزراء. هاي القاعة تم كسر أسناني وأنفي وضربي على رأسي وعلى جسدي.
The first stage of torture happened in the same conference place where he was pulled down to the ground and beaten up, where consequently he broke his nose and his teeth.
بعدها نقلوني ل خارج القاعة في حديقة خارج القاعة وتم ضربي بقضيب حديدي باي بوري حديد كسروا قدمي بي وشبقوا ايدي وشققوا ملابسي علي ونزلوني ببركة مع الماء المطر وظلوا يعذبون بي بداخلها.
Okay, and the next stage was he was pulled outside the place where they brought a metal pole and he was beaten up by it. And then they dragged him to where the water of the rain has accumulated. and it was winter and cold, and then they continued like beating him up.
And then he was, I think I read, sir, that you were sentenced to prison. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. But the torture did not end there. بعدين ورا شو اسمه منتظر ورا ما كملوا شغلهم هناك بالمستنقع بعدين شو صار؟
طبعا هاي بوجود قوات أمريكية تراقب الموضوع.
Yeah, and by the way, what was happening outside, what I just mentioned, it was the American army, they were witnessing the whole scenario.
وإجوا الأمريكيين أخذوا من عندي دم وحتى يحللون إنه إذا كنت متعاطي مخدر أو مشروبات كحولية من قمت بهذا الموضوع.
Okay, and at the same place, the Americans took a sample of his blood to make a test if he has been under drugs or if he has any alcohol or drug in his blood.
طبعا ما كانوا يحتاجون انه ياخذون مني دم لان انا كنت مغطى بالدم كلي.
Though they didn't have to take a sample of blood because he was already covered with his own blood because of all the violence he was exposed to.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he's got a sense of humor about it now. or you. Sorry.
يقول حلو إنه أنت شو اسمه يعني هسه تقدر تضحك على هالموضوع يعني عندك روح دعابة عالية.
لا من وقتها وأنا عندي روح دعابة من طلبة بالسلام يوم يعني.
He said he already had a sense of humor when he threw the shoes on Bush.
Yeah, clearly. And Lisa, I'd like to mention I've noticed on your Twitter feed that everything you say is all very, you know, positive and uplifting and funny stuff and blessing people and wishing them well all the time and all this. Seems like you do have a very positive attitude, huh?
Yes, totally. I agree. I mean, I know him personally and he is a very, very positive person and very uplifting, exactly as you observed.
Yeah, really cool. Hey, y'all, check out our great stuff at libertarianinstitute.org/books. First of all, we've published No Quarter, The Ravings of William Norman Grigg, our institute's late and great co-founder. He was the very best one of us. Our whole movement, I mean. And No Quarter will leave his mark on you, no question. Which brings us to the works of our other co-founder, the legendary libertarian thinker and writer Sheldon Richman. We've published two collections of his great essays, Coming to Palestine and What Social Animals Owe to Each Other. Both are instant classics. I'm proud to say that Coming to Palestine is surely the definitive libertarian take on Israel's occupation of the Palestinians, and Social Animals certainly ranks with the very best writings on libertarian ethics, economics, and everything else. You'll absolutely love it. Then there's me. I've written two books, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan, and Enough Already, Time to End the War on Terrorism. And I've also published a collection of the transcripts of all of my interviews of the heroic Dr. Ron Paul, 29 of them, plus a speech by me about how much I love the guy. It's called The Great Ron Paul. You can find all of these at libertarianinstitute.org/books.
And then أخذوني ببطانية يعني ما كنت أقدر أقوى على المشي فحطوني ببطانية حطوني بتراك بالبيك أب ونقلوني للمقر الحرس الرئاسي لرئيس الوزراء وطبعا موجة من التعذيب والكهرباء وكسروا طاولة على ظهري وبعد ساعات نقلوني أيضا لبيت مهجور وأيضا كان التعذيب حتى الثانية الثالثة صباحاً يمكن وإلى صباح رموني في كان جو جداً بارد وأنا كنت مكسر ومعصب العيون والرجلين والإيدي معصبيها لي وراء تركوني ببيت مهجور إلى الصباح وجو الصباح يرشون علي المي ويجلدون من صباح إلى ثاني يوم يعني إلى المساء
Okay. So eventually he was he was picked up and he was already disabled, very disabled or weak to move by himself. So he was picked up and put in a car where they drove him to a place that belongs to the prime minister. And they continued torturing him physically by all means. And then he was moved to another place that was like an empty deserted house where he stayed the whole night there, and where they also continued torturing him. Next morning, he was brought into the isolation cell, where they continued torturing him under the supervision of Emad Zeheri, you said?
Ah.
Yeah. Who is the inspector in the defense ministry today. Yeah, and then he was sentenced to 3 years in jail, where he completed 9 months or a year. منتظر؟
لا أول شيء أنا 3 شهور بزنزانة انفرادية.
إيش قد؟
3 شهور بزنزانة انفرادية.
He stayed in the in isolation cell for 3 months, and that's like a chapter in itself. That's like the ultimate torture. Then he was moved to another cell with other people or with other imprisoners.
هو لحطوني بزنزانة انفرادية 3 شهور حتى تطيب الكدمات والتعذيب اللي علي وما يشوفني واحد وانا بهاي الطريقه وهذا سبب الزنزان هذه.
Okay, so they it's like it was decided that he should stay in the isolation cell for as long as or for the, until all his wounds were healed, so no one could see all the like marks and bruises he had after the torture. Mm-hmm. So they waited until he was healed, then they moved him to with other prisoners.
وكان ما يسمح لي أذهب للحمام إلا 3 مرات باليوم.
Yeah, and he was only allowed to go to the bathroom, to the toilet 3 times a day. That's like the maximum. And if he needed to the toilet more than 3 times, he had to like do it in the same place where he was staying.
Don't tell him. That's secret.
So now the 9 months he got out of solitary confinement, and then after that, were they still torturing him after that, or that was just the rest of a regular old prison term, as bad as that goes?
Yeah, I think it finished there, but I have to confirm with him. وراها خلاص من طلعت من الانفرادي ورحت للجماعي بعد ما صار تم أي تعذيب وراها.
لا لا ما كنت تعذيب.
So yeah, that's basically what concerns the arrest and the torture and the and the process of the whole imprisonment.
All right, now George W. Bush said after this happened that I think the quote was, I don't know what the guy's cause was. So he missed the point. But so what really was the point? I asked you earlier what it was that you said, but what really was the point of trying to throw those shoes at George W. Bush?
Well, there is I أعرف خلي ماني حافظ التاريخ كله. بس خليني بس أقول لك إنه هو جورج بوش يقول إنه هو ما فهم السبب إنه أنت ضربت عليه الحذاء بس أي بالضبط. But the point is that You know, Al-Zaidi, because he has been a journalist and a correspondent for TV channel, so he was very much involved in all the damage and casualties of the Americans under the occupation. So he was very much exposed to how people were killed, humiliated, and how children were left without their parents because they were killed. So basically, what he said about that specific incident of throwing the shoes on Bush, that he did it for the children of Iraq who has lost their like their parents and their future. So that's the whole point. There's another point that Mr. Al-Zaidi always tried to make clear in all the interviews I've been watching, that there is a myth of that the Americans came to Iraq to liberate Iraq, and that the Iraqis were so grateful and happy for this. So, and that was like the mostly the Western media coverage that was always pointing to that point that the Iraqi were very grateful for the American intervention. So he wanted to make a clear point that no, that Americans were not welcomed, that it's a myth that the Iraqis were grateful and happy for their presence. هو هذا أنا جاوبت عليه.
لا إيه أدري بالنسبة للسؤال جورج بوش إنه هو ما يعرف ليش الصحفي ضربه. أنا أعتقد هذا السؤال.
لا هو سأل لا هو ما سأل هو سأل إنه هو سأل إنه أنت شنو البوينت ما أنت شنو السبب اللي أنت خلاك تسويها.
بالضبط بس لا يعني هاي صحيح بس هو قال جورج بوش قال أنا ما أعرف ليش هو رمى الحذاء علي بالبداية أول بداية السؤال مو. قول لهم هذا مثل جورج بوش سؤاله غبي أو جوابه غبي وكاذب يعني مثل ما شخص يقتل شخص ترجميها هذه مثل شخص يقتل آخر ويسأل يقول ليش مات
لأن
انت قتلته مات لأن انت قتلته ليش الشعب العراقي لأن انت قتلت الشعب العراقي.
So he has a comment to what you said about Bush's reaction to when he was asked, and as you said, he missed the point. Al-Zaidi says that his response was exactly when you ask someone who committed a murder. And he who will say, why did the person die? I mean, he died because you killed him. So it's like kind of playing stupid, you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, I think this is really important that you understand, and you probably already know. But that really mattered because it was the very end of George W. Bush's presidency. And that was his last trip to Iraq. And as you say, he was trying to spin it that he had done a great favor for the Iraqi people and they were all very grateful. And this incident really destroyed that public relations narrative. And it was an absolute humiliation for him. And just the look of stupidity exactly. on his face during the time. So in other words, it worked. It really worked. And it took the piss out of him, as the British would say. On his way out the door there. And so thank you so much for that, because he absolutely deserved that. We all only regret that you didn't hit him in the head.
but the humiliation is the same, even if it didn't hit it hits him, you know. But it would have been better, of course, if it has hit his head, you know.
But it did work. It did work for the purpose there of humiliating him and ruining his little PR stunt, his little victory lap. I don't know if that's an idiom in Arabic, victory lap, but that's something we call in English, you know, where you win the race, you run around one more time bragging about it or something. That's what he was trying to do, and you destroyed that.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
أنا أعتقد الشعب الأمريكي كان لازم يحاسب على شغلة بعد الحداث. هو كان المفروض الرئيس هو حامل دستور وحامل علم اللي هو علم بلاد اللي هو يمثل سلطة وسيادة البلد. وهذا الجبان جورج بوش وطن من الحذاء وجعل الحذاء تصيب علمه، هو المفروض يتلقى الحذاء ولا يجعلها تضرب العلم اللي هي هو وراء مباشرة. فأعتقد هو حتى اختبأ خلف العلم حتى لا يصيب الحذاء.
Yeah, he says that that the president the Bush he was supposed to be held accountable for not defending the American flag. Instead of like catching the shoe, it hit the flag. So the American people should have put him into being accountable for that.
Yeah, well, you sure got agreement from me there. Look here, you and I both know that what you need is some Libertarian Institute things, like shirts and sweatshirts and mugs and stickers to put on the back of your truck, and to give to your friends, too, that say Libertarian Institute on them, so that everyone will know the origins of your oppositional defiant disorder and where they can listen to all the best podcasts. So here's what you do. Go to LibertasBella.com and look at all the great Libertarian Institute stuff they've got going there. Find the ad in the right-hand margin at LibertarianInstitute.org. LibertasBella.com. You guys, check it out. This is so cool. The great Mike Swanson's new book is finally out. He's been working on this thing for years. And I admit, I haven't read it yet. I'm going to get to it as soon as I can. But I know you guys are going to want to beat me to it. It's called Why the Vietnam War: Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 61. And as he explains on the back here, all of our popular culture and our retellings and our history and our movies are all about the height of the American War there in, say, 1964 through 1974. But how do we get there? Why is this all Harry Truman's fault? Find out in Why the Vietnam War, by the great Mike Swanson, available now. All right, so now I wanted to ask you, a two-part question, I guess. The first is, what would you have people know about that war? And then also your opinion of troops, American troops remaining in Iraq to this day.
الجزء الأول أتمنى أن الشعب الأمريكي يقرأ كتابي التحية الأخيرة للرئيس بوش، وأتمنى يترجم إلى اللغة الإنجليزية وبأمريكا، لأن بي كل الحقائق في الحرب، كل الحقائق اللي صارت عن الحرب والمآسي اللي صارت من الحرب وما جاءت به هذه القوات المحتلة.
زين، غير الكتاب يعني ما عندك هسه رأي يعني مختصر تقدر تحكي لي اياه؟
أتمنى يفهم الشعب الأمريكي أنه من اختاروهم لقيادة بلدهم خانوا الأمانة وجعلوا شعوب تعيش في جحيم، غيروا بانتخابهم لهؤلاء الأشخاص، غيروا حيوات ملايين الناس. لدينا أكثر من 5 مليون يتيم بسبب قرار من الشعب الأمريكي لانتخاب جورج بوش. لذلك أنا أعرف أن الشعب الأمريكي ليس له علاقة بالسياسة الرعناء للبيت الأبيض، ولكن أعتقد هو يستطيع أن يعاقب الرئيس أو أي شخص بأنه لا ينتخبه. تذكروا أنه قراركم في انتخاب جورج بوش ولد فقط بالعراق 5 مليون يتيم وأكثر من 1 مليون ضحية بسبب قرار انتخبته هذا الرئيس.
Okay, what he's saying is that he really wants the Americans to understand that they have given their votes to, and they've elected a president that has really let them down and disappointed them in making such a tremendously wrong decision entering the country of Iraq, and And because of that intervention, that military intervention or occupation, 5 million children today are actually orphans. And he says that I know that the American people are not very political aware, and they really don't know that much of what's going on in Iraq and what has happened really in details. But like the responsibility, they still have a responsibility of electing a president that has caused so much damage to another nation, you know. And he will also recommend that for more information about what has happened back then, that he, you know, he has a, I don't know if you know that he has a book, or he has written a book about it all. So it will be a great idea if this book was translated to English and got more attention in America.
Yeah, I wish it was. I actually read that this morning in a Washington Post article, and I tried to search for it on Amazon.com or anywhere in English. I can only find references to it, but I can't find anywhere where it's for sale.
Yeah, it's because it's not translated, but it's actually, I'm surprised that it's not translated. It's just now I know it hasn't been translated to English, but it should actually, and it should like gain some publicity there to like for them to know that what did our politician do? I mean, when we gave them our votes, you know, this is like quite important.
Yeah,
great. And
القوات الأمريكية بقائها لحماية حدود أمريكا أفضل من بقائها في الدول الأخرى لحماية أمريكا. هذه كذبة. لا أحد يعبر المحيطات ليضرب أمريكا. لا توجد لدى الكرة الأرضية كلها القدرة على مواجهة الجيش الأمريكي إذا كان يحمي حدوده، ولكن الجيش الأمريكي يكون ضعيف حينما يحتل الدول الأخرى ويقتل منه العشرات بل المئات بل الألوف. أنتم شاهدتوا كيف عاد الجنود الأمريكيين بعد حرب فيتنام بالتوابيت، كيف عادوا من أفغانستان بالتوابيت، كيف عادوا من العراق بالتوابيت. لماذا؟ لأنه سياسي يلبس ربطة عنق أنيقة ويجلس في بيت في القاعة البيضاوية ويطلب من المساكين الجنود الذهاب لحماية أمريكا في أقصى الشرق. وهذا الشيء يعني حقيقة يعني مزعج. هذا الشيء يعني أنا أقتبس شيء من ما قاله محمد علي كلاي رحمه الله لما رفض الانتساب للجيش والذهاب إلى فيتنام للقتال، قال إن العدو هنا وليس في فيتنام، علينا أن نقاتل العدو هنا وأن نحمي حدودنا هنا، وليس الذهاب إلى الدول الفقيرة والدول النامية ونحتلها وثم نقول قتلوا جنودنا. أنا أعتقد أنه بقاء
هذا محمد علي كلاي؟
لا، هذا اقتباس بس محمد علي كلاي ما راح. أنا أقول قواعد الأمريكية في أي مكان هي تضر بمصالح الشعب الأمريكي وتجلب له الكراهية من الشعوب الأخرى.
Regarding your his opinion about the Americans' troops still existing in Iraq, he's saying that it's also very important to make the Americans aware that sending military troops around the world is actually not defending the sovereignty of America. It's like they are defending their country in one case if there is a direct attack through the borders, but what they're doing by sending their troops to other countries, it's not defending, but it's an aggression. It's an act of aggression. And it's also like, as he said, that politicians sitting there being protected and sending some innocent soldiers and military people who gets traumatized in these wars will only like create even more hatred, you know. And he said that he referred to Muhammad Ali Clay, you know him, the boxer. He, as he said, that when he refused joining the army going to Vietnam, he said that the true enemy is inside of our country and not outside of it. So that's like also a very important point to make the Americans aware of.
Okay, and now to end, I read that you have a nonprofit humanitarian foundation for you know, helping up victims of the war, and you're a journalist and all that. So I wanted to give you a chance to talk about that in the future.
الآن أنا واقف وقاتلني الحر بسبب إنه رجعتنا أمريكا إلى الوراء ورادت تجيبنا الحضارة الآن ما عندنا كهرباء. في العراق في 50 وأنا واقف أتصبب عرقا هذا ما أفعله
الآن. So what he's doing right now is that he's sweating because of the Americans who promised to bring civilization and urbanization to Iraq has actually brought the countries like hundreds of years back because they had electricity and now they don't. And they haven't had electricity that's working properly since the Gulf War, where the Americans, they bombed all the electricity infrastructure. So this is what he's doing right now. He's really sweating.
أما عن المؤسسة اللي سويتها هي إغاثة ضحايا الاحتلال الأمريكي بالعراق وأسستها بسويسرا للأرامل والأيتام من ضحايا الاحتلال اللي كنت أتمنى أن أفتح لهم مشاريع ملاجئ.
زين أقول لك زين خلي أقول لك خليني أنا أخذ هذا الجزء أحكي به. أوكي. That, you know, as you know, Mr. Scott, the foundation has the aim of helping victims of war, and it started back then after 2009, after the incident of Bush, and it was established in Switzerland, and he you know, the problem is that the government appointed by the Americans has not solved any of the problems because of all the corruption, and they haven't like done anything for this country because it's not a national government. It's a government that was appointed by the occupiers. So they haven't been working for the interest of the people. So 17 years after the occupation, things are just going and downwards. It's getting even worse. So there's the country is still suffering a lot of problems, like poverty and bad healthcare and etc. So he is very eager to keep on his work, but of course he needs the means and the financial support to go through with his projects, because I mean his intentions alone is not enough. So he's really eager to find fundraising that could support his especially the humanitarian work that he's doing. Zaidi is very concerned about children. I mean, and this is like his main issue. And the humanitarian work in general, especially the healthcare and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I think what you should do is go into the shoe business, and you'll be the most famous shoe company in Iraq, and then you divert, you know, 10% off to the orphanage.
Wow, that's really fantastic idea. It's not even a joke, really.
I'd wear some.
I don't understand how he didn't think about it before that.
Well, that's why I'm around.
وين رحت؟
لا واجهت
أقولك سوقت التليفونات دي أو
احترقنا نار. كمل
يلا أقول لك هسه مو وقتها هسه تحملت
يلا كمل.
he said that this is like the problem is that it's gonna make his whole cause look so silly that people will say okay he threw the shoe on Bush to make a business out of it.
Oh. Yeah, but you know what? It's been 13 years. I think it's time has passed. Enough time has passed. It's not too soon. I think it'll be right.
Yeah,
Michael Jordan هو لاعب ويستطيع انه يسوي تجارب باللي يريده. انا مناضل ضد الظلم. فما اعتقد هيك مشروع.
You know, اقول لك هو مثل ما يقول هاي القضية صار 13 سنة. يعني انت لو تريد لو الهدف من وراء النوبة راح تدخل شو اسمه.
So I read an article that said that there are two different companies that claim to make the shoe that he threw. So it seems like those are the obvious targets to just go into business with one or the other of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, did you hear that when they traced the shoe and they found out that it was made in Turkey, and the shoe company that produced that shoe that was thrown on Bush got out of stock. All his shoes were suddenly sold, and his like income raised like crazily after the incident. Did you know that?
No, that's
pretty yeah. Cool. So it's. Yeah, so the company who produced the shoe was suddenly going completely having a very, very high times economically because it got so popular.
That's funny. All right, well, listen, I better let you guys go, but thank you both so much for doing the show. I'm sure I'm saying your name.
But Mr. Scott, I'll yeah. convince him to do that business.
Do it. Do it. I'll buy some. You guys yeah. can sponsor the show. It'll be great. all right, guys. That's Muntadhar Al-Zaidi, the hero who threw the shoe at George W. Bush's head. A couple of them. And his very nice friend, Susan, the translator. Thank you both so much for doing the show. Really appreciate a lot.
Thank you very much. See you soon.
Oh, thanks to you. Thank you, Mr. Scott. It was nice meeting you.
The Scott Horton Show, Anti-War Radio, can be heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, APSradio.com, antiwar.com, scotthorton.org, and libertarianinstitute.org.